thank you so much. That was rich. That was awesome. That was real. Thank you so much. Well, grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we do conclude that sermon series on the five T's of stewardship. Today, as you've heard, T is for testimony. And a testimony is a type of story. There are two basic kinds of testimonies when it comes to our faith. And so remember again, as we're talking about testimony, we're talking about how we live our story, how we live our faith story. And so two basic types. One is classified as what I might say as a personal witness, and it comes out of our individual lives. And it happens many times in a spontaneous way, in a sporadic way. This first type does. Kind of like if you could imagine a popcorn in a popcorn machine, and it just sort of goes off in random rhythms. And so we live a life and we come across certain situations, and they may just be kind of a random situation, but it's an opportunity to let our faith pop, to let our faith come out. I'll give you a couple of examples of this first type of testimony. Possibly you're at a Thanksgiving gathering, and prior to everyone just diving into the turkey and dressing, you feel this nudge at your heart. You feel that the Holy Spirit kind of prodding you to say, you know, before we just jump into the food, maybe we should come together as a family of faith and have a prayer. And so instead of just keeping that to yourself, keeping that in your own heart, you let it pop, right? And you say, well, hey, let me offer a prayer of thanksgiving. And so you do. That becomes a personal witness, a testimony, a story coming to fruition in your particular life. Or maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at work and it's another kind of pop. A coworker shares with you that they've got a difficulty going on in their life, and you say that you're going to pray for them. So out of your faith, you feel this nudge, that this pop, this yearning to do something about it. So maybe you say you're going to pray for them or even pray with them. Maybe another example could be how you encounter an individual at HEB. Maybe it's a stranger, or maybe it's a homeless person. Let's just go there. And you feel this sense that you need to just connect. Again, it's sort of a movement of the Spirit, sort of a pop. And you treat them with the same kind of greeting that you would treat a friend or a family member. Or possibly it's a situation where you have an opportunity to share a gift that you have. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's a resource. Maybe it's a certain gift. And someone else needs that. Someone else in the community or in your neighborhood or in your family need that. And again, you feel this urge, this nudge, and it just sort of leads you to pop and to connect and to share what you have with a person's need. All these and 100 more, 1,000 more are testimonies of our faith, ways that we can live out our faith in our daily lives. Some of them have to do with words, some of them have to do with deeds, but they're more spontaneous, if you get where I'm going with that, more kind of just a pop moment. The second kind of testimony, which we really want to lean into today and focus on, is the testimony of our story as a legacy. Daniel used that word a little bit a while ago when he was talking about Walt Disney. Testimony as legacy, our story as legacy. And so it's the bigger picture of our lives. It's not just these little popcorn pieces that go off. All these little popcorn pieces could contribute to the big story. But the big story is not just the pearl on a string of pearls. It's the whole necklace, if you get me right. It's all those pearls strung together in our life. It's the panoramic view of our life and not just a small snapshot picture in our life. It's what people might say about you, how people might describe you. Possibly then it's also how you might be remembered when you're dead and gone. It's what your epitaph might read on your tombstone. And it's actually that little dash between your date of birth and your date of death on your tombstone. You know that little dash that I'm talking about? That becomes our story. That becomes our testimony in a big picture way. Testimony as legacy is how we overall spend our dash. In the Bible reading this morning, we heard a number of names. Number of names that by faith did this, by faith did that. It sort of is their legacy. It's what people are known for. And so you can play this word association game with me if you want to here this morning, but it's like Moses. When we say the word or the name Moses, what do we think of? Well, we think of Pharaoh, and we think of the Red Sea, and we think of the Ten Commandments and the Sinai Desert and the Promised Land. When the name Noah is uttered, what do you think of? Flood and ark and God's promise in a rainbow. And there's Daniel in the lion's den and his courage to stand up to the king. And of course, we know of others, Samson's strength, Joseph's leadership, Rahab's courage, and Mary's obedience. All these people are known by their legacy, their story that kind of covers their life, what they are known for, remembered for. And, you know, we have people in everyday life like that, don't we? I mean, there's people from the past. We heard of one, Walt Disney, but the word association game again. Thomas Edison, the light bulb, electricity, Rosa Parks. I ain't getting off this bus, yeah. Martin Luther, the Reformation. Chester Nimitz, right here in our community. Greg Popovich, that great coach. Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, so on and so on. All these people, you say their name and an image comes to mind. Their legacy, what they are remembered for. And these can all be positive legacies. We also know that there can be some negative ones. General Custer and The Last Stand. Adolf Hitler, extermination of Jews. Lee Harvey Oswald, assassinating JFK. Or Judas, the betrayer of our Savior. We could go on and on about positive and negative legacies of other people. But what's yours? How will you be remembered? What will people say about? What do they say about you? What do they say about me now? In one or two words connected to our faith, what might your epitaph read? Or better yet, what do you want it to read? Personally, I'm hoping that I won't be defined or remembered by some of the individual snapshot pictures that I had along the way. You know what I mean? I mean, I recall times when I really botched it. I mean, failed miserably. I gave an extremely bad testimony of my life, my faith, my family. I sure don't want people back in hometown of Pflugerville to remember when I was 16 years old. Me and a couple of other buds, we were walking around town, and we had some chicks with us. And so we wanted to impress the young ladies. And so we bent yield signs. Only to be nabbed by the cops a couple of weeks later and to have to straighten them all out. I sure don't want to be remembered about the time or two that I snuck into someone else's property and went fishing. Yeah, we took pictures, but we couldn't tell people where we caught them. I sure don't want to be remembered by the time, oh gosh, do I even say this? Oh yeah, I guess I do. I have to. I've opened my mouth now. The time I shot the neighbor's cat. Oh gosh. No. Or I have to tell you one other time. When I was about 20, 21 years old, I was in college. And I went back home because the basketball team, the boys basketball team, was in the playoffs. And so we were playing Dripping Springs, and me and a couple of buds had gone to the game. We were in college now. Me and a couple of buds, and I think we had a couple of buds. And so as we were at the game, we were on the first or we were on the second row. And we had great seats. And the ball was going up and down the court, up and down the court. And there was a play right near where we were sitting. And, you know, I just had a whole lot better view of than the referee did. And so as he made the call, he made the wrong call. And he called the ball for the other team. I stood up and I yelled. I said, "You've got to be crazy. You can't see. You're blind." He stopped the game. He took off his whistle. He walked over to me and he gave it to me. And he said, "If you think you can do a better job, you call this game. If not, sit down and shut up." Crickets. I hope and I pray that I'm not remembered by some of the snapshots in my years of growing up then and even today. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want your epitaph to read? Negative Nancy? Loudmouth? Hothead? Grumpy? Stingy? Mootsy? Or compassionate? Good listener? Ah, great with kids. Wonderful dad. Super spouse. Honest, hard worker. I was visiting with a parent the other day, and she told me that she would like for her legacy to be that she made sure that her children's eternity was set with God. Everything else will fall in place, their education and this, that, and the other, but she wanted to make sure that that was what she wanted her legacy to be. You see, we don't have to be on this list of people that was read earlier by Kaylee. We don't have to be an Abraham or a Sarah, an Isaac, or Rebecca, Ruth, Joseph. We don't have to be some faith stud superstar. As a matter of fact, when that list was read, if you listen really closely, there were some people listed that had to do some turnarounds in life. David turned from adultery to be the king that God created him to be. Samson turned from being a womanizer to being a hero who slew 3,000 Philistines. Joseph, the son of Jacob, turned from his air of arrogance that he could interpret dreams in front of his brother to one of humility as God placed him to be second in command of all of Egypt and to save his people from a great famine. Rahab turned from a life of prostitution as to one of saving God's army by hiding them. Peter, the one who was known to deny Jesus, ended up dying for him. And Paul, the author of the book of Hebrews, killed and imprisoned Christians only to turn around and be the greatest evangelist that the world has ever known. Story after story in the Bible of people who certainly failed along the way, but did not remain in that failure, but allowed God, and here it is, God's story to enter into our story. God's story of grace and mercy by the cross of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and by his resurrection to give us new life and the promise of eternal life. God's story entering into our story to redeem us, to continue to tell his story in our lives. And you know what? When it's all said and done, the truth is that our testimony isn't supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about the one who made us and died and rose for us. Our tombstone is not about what others would write, what we would write, but it's about what God would scribe. You know, there's at least 8 questions, maybe 7 or 8, that God will not ask us when we arrive at the pearly gates. He's not going to ask us what kind of car we drove, but he is going to ask us possibly how many people we drove because they didn't have transportation. He's not going to ask us how many square foot our feet our home had, but he may well ask us how we welcomed people into that home. He won't ask us about the clothes we wear, but he may well ask us about if we shared out of our abundance of clothing. He's not going to ask about what is the highest salary you ever made, but he may well ask if we compromised our character to earn it. Not going to ask about our job title, but he may well ask if we performed our job to the best of our ability and to the glory of him. Probably not going to ask about which neighborhood we lived in, but how we treated our neighbors. And he's sure not going to ask about what church we belong to. But he probably will ask if we believed in his son as our Lord and our Savior. And finally, he's not going to ask if we were perfect, but he's going to ask if we turned around again to him when we were imperfect, in our imperfection, to turn again to Him for forgiveness and new life, correction and direction. You see, our testimony, our overall big picture testimony is not about making people ooh and ah about us, because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about Thee, the God who gave us life, the God who redeemed our lives, the God who continues to lead our lives and to lead us back to Him even when we err, even when we stray. So back to your little dash. The one in between our date of birth, the one in between our date of death. May the part of the dash that we each have left to live, may it be an opportunity, yeah, an opportunity of God's amazing grace, a window to turn in those areas where God would have us turn, to right some wrongs, to fix some brokenness, to try to do better, to try to set things right, to do the good that God intends for us to do as Christians. And maybe live a little more or less for self and a lot more for others. And ultimately to rely on God's story, God's testimony for us, and then live that story as a legacy to His glory. Amen.